Every Sunday, again, if you've been around here long, I do not put any emphasis on one Sunday over another. His birth, his life, his resurrection is to be celebrated every Sunday. That's why God made and separated this day as holy. You know, we celebrate a lot of things, don't we? And I don't know that we got this Easter thing right. We can't even celebrate it on the same day every year. You know, he died the same day every year, and he arose the same time every year. But why in the world don't we celebrate? We celebrate his birthday the same time every year, don't we? What is wrong with humanity? You know, see, humanity likes to take something. They like to take a truth, and God shows us in his word. We like to take what's true, and we like to change it to what fits us. And that's what we've done. It's called religion. Religion is not a relationship. Anybody ever how Easter was determined? Easter falls on the first Sunday after the full moon date based on the mathematical calculation that falls on the March 21st. If the full moon is on a Sunday, Easter is celebrated on the following Sunday. Although Easter is literally related to the beginning of spring in the northern hemisphere, in the full moon, its date is not based on the actual astronomical date of either event. Orthodox Easter. Not all Christians observe Easter according to the Gregorian calendar. A lot of the most Orthodox Christians do the Julian calendar. Like the Easter date based on the Julian calendar, Orthodox Easter falls on a Sunday between March 22nd to April 25th. Next year we're going to set it on the Julian calendar, because the sunrise service, it'll be warmer, because we can do that between April 3rd and May 10th. So, it was cold this morning. Just crazy what this is all about. And then they talk about all the different holidays related to Easter, and maybe you guys are smarter than me, but I didn't know all this. Of course, we have Palm Sunday, which is 1 week before Easter. And then we have a Maundy Thursday, which is 3 days before Easter. And then there's a Good Friday, which is 2 days before Easter. And then, of course, we have Easter Saturday, which is 1 day before Easter. And then we have Easter Monday, 1 day after Easter. And then we have the Ascension Day, which is 39 days after Easter. And then we have Whit Sunday, Pentecost, which is 49 days after Easter. And then we have Whit Monday, which is 50 days after Easter. And then we have Trinity Sunday, which is 56 days after Easter. And then we have the Corpus Christi, which is 60 days after Easter. I think we're spending too much time celebrating Easter. What do y'all think? This is ridiculous, folks. Humanity is ridiculous when it comes to the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus never expected us, and God never expects us to take this and celebrate these days like we celebrate them. Every day is to be a celebration of his resurrection if you are a child of God and you are to walk in a manner worthy of your calling. He never one time in the scripture said celebrate these days. Now see, the first covenant, he came out and said, now you're going to celebrate the Passover. You're going to celebrate the Feast of Unleavened Bread. You're going to celebrate this, and you're going to celebrate that. And you're going to celebrate. And God's the one that directed that under the first covenant as a reminder of who they were and where they came from. But when Jesus Christ came, all that changed. But yet man can't let go of that. They want to create their own holidays and their own seasons. I'm telling you, if this Sunday is more special to you than any other Sunday, then you've missed it. If you do anything different this year, this Sunday, than you did last Sunday, you have a problem. I'm here to speak truth. I'm not going to lie to you. Jesus was not impressed that we got up at 7:30 and met out there in the cold. I don't have to do that. But I did it because I wanted to out of respect for him. But he didn't look at that and say, oh, wow, look at those nice people. They got up early in the cold. He didn't say, oh, look at those wonderful people. They put on a play. Oh, look at those wonderful people. They're doing something special for my birthday. They're making me a cake. We're having Jesus parties. If you think for one moment that God is impressed with what we do for him, you've sadly mistaken what the scriptures say about what this is all about. If we don't get it right, it has eternal consequences in our lives. I want to share this morning, if you've got your Bibles, chapter 5 of 2 Corinthians. And I'm beginning to read in verse 18. It says, "Now all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation." The verse before that says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature, and the old things have passed away. Behold, all things are new." I don't know why we can't look at this in the newness of it all. And we keep trying to hang on to history and man's history instead of what God's revelation is to us. But he says, all things are from God. We were created by God. We were created to be spiritual beings. We fell in the garden. We were dead in our trespasses of sin. God has a wrath. He condemned mankind. We're hopelessly, helplessly lost. And God initiated a way that we could be reconciled back to him. There's nothing that humans can do in their flesh to please God. God has never asked us to do things for him. But he says, I am a God that will do something for you. And until we get rid of our pride, until we get rid of our arrogance and ignorance, and understand that this was initiated by God, it's all about God, and we return back to God, some will stay with him and some will be separated from him for eternity. Not everyone goes to heaven. He goes on to say that he gave us a ministry of reconciliation. So you and I, as children of God, are also to take on that ministry of reconciliation. Man is at odds and man is at enemies with God. Anything in the flesh is contrary to God, and we are enemies of him. And that's how God sees it. There's nothing you can do about that. It don't matter how many good deeds you do, how many times you preach a sermon, how many times you're a deacon and do some worthy deed, how many times you help somebody across the street, how many times you work at the food bank, how many mission trips you go on. See, that's not the problem. So many people look at the problem of mankind is that, well, you're looking at pornography, or you're stealing from time from work, or you're speeding, or you're murdering somebody, or you're doing this bad thing and that bad thing. It's amazing how we look and decide what's bad. And we forget to look into scriptures and find out what's bad. God's the only one who calls sin, sin, and whatever he calls sin is sin, and we're not going to change that. It doesn't matter what our Congress votes. It doesn't matter what our president says. What God calls sin is sin, and that is going to be the ultimate judgment. And we have been condemned by God because of who we are, not because of what we do. What we do is because of who we are. You see, when we focus at the sin and just the sin and not the problem, the root problem of sin, then we're always going to remain blinded and deceived by Satan. Because Satan comes along and says, well, just don't do this anymore and just don't do that anymore. Just go do some more good things and guess what? You'll be okay. You're not okay. You're not okay because you were born with the seed of Adam, which then makes you a sinner. You can't do anything about it. He's not basing it on what you've done. He's basing it on your nature. And you have the nature that's contrary to God, so therefore you are in condemnation of God because God is holy and he cannot associate with sin in any form, fashion, or manner, regardless of what religion tells you. He is more holy than he is loving. And that's why there's a wrath coming. There's a wrath coming to the ungodly because he is holy and he has to uphold his holiness. But he loved us enough so that we wouldn't suffer his wrath. Read John 3:16. It's not about his love. It's about him saving you through his son, Jesus Christ, so you wouldn't have to suffer the wrath of God. He goes on to say in verse 19, namely, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. God did this. Man doesn't do this. Man doesn't fix the problem that they have with God. God fixes the problem that man has with God. Not counting their trespasses against them, and he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. The word was flesh, was made flesh by God. The word was with God. The word helped in the creation of this world. And the world became to his own received him not. It was all about reconciling man back to him, back to God, about his creation, getting his creation back. Somehow we think that we have to work a deal with God. That somehow this is a two-way negotiation. Religion kind of puts it out there like, okay, we're going to work this out with God. We don't have anything to work out. We can't work it out. God has to work it out. And God has worked it out. And he worked it out through his son, Jesus Christ, so that you and I would not have to suffer the wrath of God and eternal separation from him in eternity. In verse 20, he says, therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. What does an ambassador do? He represents the one who sent him. As a child of God, we are ambassadors for Christ, so how we live our lives is very important. I don't keep the commandments to get saved. I keep the commandments because I am saved, and I have the power of God within me to be able to keep those commandments. See, because of God's forgiveness, we think we can just throw the commandments away. 1 John says, you say you love me, but you don't keep my commandments. Pretty blunt, he calls you a liar. Folks, you got to look at the truth. You can't listen to man. You've got to listen to what God's word says, because this has got eternal consequences for you, and you may spend eternity. You may be the one that stands before him and he says, depart from me. I never knew you. Religion says, do you know Christ? God says, does Jesus know you? Totally different than what's taught out there. And that's why we have people running around here doing all these plays and all these religious acts, thinking that they're pleasing God somehow. When God says, you're an ambassador for me, you act according to what I've called you to act, and you keep my commandments, and you represent me well. And then he says, well done, my good and faithful servant. See, we get caught up in all this hip-hop and all this religious junk that doesn't have any merit at all before Almighty God. God is not impressed with us. And he never will be. He's impressed with his son. And if his son is in you and resides in you, then he'll be impressed with you. He goes on and says, he made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf. You know what it means to make somebody do something? He made him. Jesus did not want to do this. Okay? Do you understand me? That Jesus did not want to do this? This was not Jesus' idea. But God commanded his son to do this. He prayed 3 times in the garden, oh, if there's any way that this cup can pass me, can we do it another way? He said, but not my will be done, but yours. You see, that moment on the cross when he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? That's the moment he became sin for all the world. And his father couldn't look at him. His father had to turn his back on him. As much as he loved the son, and much as the son loved the father, sin separated them. Let's look at 1 Corinthians, verse 15, chapter 15. I'm sorry, let's go to verse 5. Chapter 5, I'm sorry. And we're going to begin in verse 1. So he goes, therefore, having been justified by faith. In other words, that's the only way you are justified, is by faith. It's amazing when I ask people, where does faith come from? They say, well, it's what I believe or what I have faith in. But guess what? Faith comes from hearing. And I know that everyone gets tired of this. I'm sorry, I've got y'all on the wrong page here. It's Romans chapter 5, I'm sorry. I'm getting ahead of myself. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. So therefore have been justified by faith. That is the only way that you are justified before God, is in faith. Faith in Jesus Christ. Where do you get faith from? It comes from hearing. How do you start to hear? See, people say, I want to hear from God. And they'll go and they'll do these retreats and they'll do all these Bible studies and they'll do all these things. And they're not going to hear God that way. The only way you hear God is from His Word. And if you're not spending time with God in His Word, meditating on His Word, instead of picking it up and trying to do a Bible study. See, a Bible study, you're trying to figure something out. That's why you study it, right? Well, this is all revelation. I mean, you don't know. Peter did not know that he was the Son of God until God told him that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. We take that piece out of all the stuff that we do. Religion doesn't have that. Religion says you go to a Bible study, and guess what? You can figure it out. Well, you're not going to figure it out. You're going to put man's twist on it. It has to be revealed to you. You have to be convicted by the Holy Spirit through the Word of God. Let the Word of God convict you, not some church member. But see, we don't want to do what it takes to have that relationship with God. We would rather do everything else and work ourselves to the bone. Come up with all this junk that humanity has come up with instead of just sitting quietly with God's Word that's sharper than any two-edged sword. It's live. It dissects me. It's a mirror to what I am. I can't see who I am without it. I can't know what I am without it. And yet, that's the last thing we want to do, is pick up God's Word and spend time, because we look at it as a waste of time. When it's the only thing that can get you to where you can hear. Because if you can't hear, you can't have faith. Faith is given to you by God. I didn't write this. That's the only way you can get it. He goes on to say in verse 2, through whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith into grace, in which we stand and we exalt in hope of the glory of God. You see, we stand in that hope. Our hope is because God raised Christ from the dead. That means that God accepted the sacrifice. If Christ had not been raised, then we're wasting our time. But see, Christ was raised. Not only was he raised, but there's some 500 folks that also were raised. People that had died. They went into the cities. Can you imagine? Can you imagine the people's faces? When they had been to the funerals of those that had died, that Christ had released and allowed to go and walk around as witnesses of what was going on. That was the first resurrection. There's another resurrection coming. He's coming again. He's coming again. And those that are born again, those that have their names written in the book of life, if they don't die, they'll meet him in the air. If you die before, then you go to be with him until he comes again to reign. But see, we think this life is about going to heaven. Let me read this next passage, because this is what this is all about. See, we think because we're children of God that we somehow deserve a better life. That we somehow deserve to not have any struggles in life. Somehow religion plants that seed in us to think that, wow, because I have given my life to Christ. By the way, you can't do that. That's impossible because you have no life to give him. See, that's one of those sacrifices that God's not interested in. He's not interested in you sacrificing your life for him. You better get the fact that he sacrificed his life for you. And we've got to get that right. But listen to this. And not only this, we don't just exalt in the fact that we are born again, and don't only exalt in the fact that Christ was raised from the dead, and that's where our hope is at, but we also exalt in our tribulations, our problems, our troubles. See, sin causes problems. Sin brings forth death. And that's the only thing sin can bring. It separates families, husbands and wives. It separates children. It separates not just us from God, but it's all these relationships that we have. It puts us and takes us further than we ever want to go, into the darkest places that we'll ever want to be. And we wonder, well, how do we get there? You can't blame God, because he wrote in here that if you don't follow me and let my lamp, and let my word be a lamp unto your feet and guide you, that's where you'll end up. We exalt in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance. You see, if I'm not troubled, if I'm not proven, I don't know who I am. The only way God shows me who I am is through tribulation, problems, whether it be physical, financial, mental, whatever. If you've been born on this earth, you're going to have problems. But this perseverance, and perseverance brings a proven character. You see, the more tribulations I go through, and the longer I persevere, the more confidence I have in who I am. We must gain confidence in who we are, especially in these last days that we live, where our world is turning its back on God, where our government leads us contrary to the word of God, where the world says no to God. We got to know who we are. And God has to prove that. See, this proven character brings hope. Because I now know who I am. I now have the hope that I can put in Christ, knowing that this is all temporary. I'm just passing through. This is not my home. And hope, in verse 5, and hope does not disappoint. Hope does not disappoint. Because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit. See, the Holy Spirit is the power of God. And if his spirit does not bear witness with your spirit that you're a child of God, you are not. You can't keep playing with this. You can't let Satan keep deceiving you that you are something that you are not. It's not based on what you're doing. It's based on who you are. And God needs to prove to you who you are. Because that's where our hope's at. See, a lot of people are living with this religious hope. God's always going to make it better. God's always going to heal. God's always going to come through. Only place God comes through is eternity. Not necessarily on this earth. He may not heal. He may not get you out of your difficult situation, but I promise you, you'll go through it a lot better. And that's what we're to do as children of God, is to go through it a lot better. He's not going to take it away. He's not going to remove this world from you and your troubles from this world. But he wants to prove your character so that you know who you are, so he doesn't have to say, depart from me. That breaks his heart when he has to tell someone, depart from me, I never knew you. And the reason he has to do that is the same reason he rejected Christ on the cross, because you are sin. Your character is sin. That's all you can do is be sin. See, here's how it happened. Through one man's disobedience, Adam, sin became a part of all of us. And that's all we are. But through one man's obedience, the Christ, all men can be saved. Isn't it amazing how that works? See, quit looking at your sin and look at why you sin. Because if you don't take care of that root of the problem, no matter how many leaves you turn over, no matter how many counselors you go to, it's not going to help. It's not an answer for eternity. You better know who you are. And just because you say you are that doesn't make you that. Our churches this morning are full of people that think they're going to heaven. There's very few that know they're going to heaven. If God hadn't told you, you're not going. That's how simple it is. You can't just say a prayer. Somehow we have allowed religion to tell us that you say a prayer, you give your life to God, and you're saved. You can't find that in Scripture. You cannot back that up in Scripture. It's not there. But yet we have been lied to for generation after generation after generation. The man had told us that, guess what? Say this prayer, I'll shake your hand, welcome to the kingdom of God. I have no responsibility, have no power to impart the Holy Spirit upon you. Only God does. And if you have believed and not received the Holy Spirit, you are not a child of God. And until this means something to you and becomes a forefront, matter of fact, the Bible says you better be diligent about this. See, it's amazing what we're diligent about, isn't it? Why are you diligent about something? See, a lot of the kids are diligent about playing soccer. They're diligent about sports because it means something to them. But how many of us are diligent about knowing the Word of God and knowing who we are? See, your assessment of who you are does not make you who you are. You better allow God to tell you who you are. See, it's always amazing after a sermon like this, people come up and tell me, oh, I know I'm saved because I did this and I did this and I did this, but they don't tell me what God did. It's amazing how we begin. It's just no different. See, God wrote this so that we would know, because in Matthew chapter 7, it says, when he told these people, depart from me, I never knew you, they begin to tell him, but we cast out demons in your name. Man, we gave our life for you. We gave our life for your name. Depart from me, I never knew you. You're wicked. You're wicked. God loves us, or he wouldn't have sent his son. But we got to stop allowing religion. We got to stop allowing Bible studies to tell us what God's word says. You need no man to teach you. But yet God may use us. But whatever we say, you better test me, please. I will beg you. Matter of fact, we didn't get very far because, gosh, it's already time to go. And there's so much more to say. But it's Easter Sunday, so I guess it's special, so I can preach another hour and y'all don't mind. You don't care, right? Oh, come on. Yes, you do care. You're lying in church. Preachers aren't allowed to go past 12 or they cut their pay. By George, how are you going to cut mine? I don't make a dime. So I'm going to keep on preaching. No, I'm going to tell you what, folks. This is serious. We can't keep fooling ourselves. We've been lied to. Until recently in my life, after I became pastor, he began to teach me what he says. You got to see all the garbage that I get week after week that people put out, that man puts out, that is not true. Religion's easy to grab onto. salvation is impossible. It's only by the revelation of God in our lives that we come to know who He is. And we have to turn it over to Him. He did this to save us. Just like Jeff read, Jesus didn't come to destroy man. He came to save us. But He is coming again to judge man. Please, I beg you, as the Scripture says, as Paul said, we beg you to open the Scriptures and find out who you are and be free from the sin that we were born with. Let's pray. Dear Father God, again, we just thank You for your Word. Father, reveal it to us. We can't get this. It's Your Word. You give it to whom You please. Father, I pray that everyone here this morning that has heard Your Word this morning, that will now take it and do something with it. They won't forget about this, but they'll take it home and meditate on it. They'll get the Word and say, God, am I Yours? And not base it on anything that they can attain to other than Your Spirit.